Breakfast puppies?
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars, but mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Xander, what are we drinking tonight?
We are drinking a Zubrovka.
Say that again.
Zubrovka.
Zubrovka.
Yeah. Something tells me you weren't pronouncing that right, but we'll go with it.
Yeah. For centuries in eastern Poland, massive buffalo have roamed the lush fields that are full of flowers, and Zubrovka, or bison grass, an herb full of mystique, which offers a robust bouquet of exotic flavors, which honors Eastern European heritage for authenticity. Yet now offers the perfect modern-day celebratory spirit.
Yeah, I understand that there were some negatives on this evening.
I don't know what negatives we can say about Zubrovka. Zubrovka is great.
Maybe just one negative. You need to toast when you drink something strong like that.
Hey, cheers.
Okay, all right, sure, whatever. What are we toasting?
Nice to meet you guys.
Yay, nice to meet you. So you are listening once again to Bikers, Dice, and Bars, recorded here in Portland, Oregon. As usual, I'm NPC.
I'm just Jacob, Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
And this time around, we are joined with very special guests.
Alma.
And Andre.
And I understand that you guys make some music or something like that?
We make some music.
Music is our game.
Well, I play and sing in a band called Cervona.
We've talked about Cervona a number of times on the show in the past. I remember on day one, we're like, okay, who do we want to get in the studio?
Cervona?
Yep.
Who else? I'm good with Cervona.
So now we have them here in the studio.
All right. Well, yeah. Our pleasure too.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, it's good to have you here. So tell me a little bit about this beverage.
Yeah, it's a kind of an iconic beverage, I would say, Zubrovka. And it was very popular back in the Soviet Union. I think I've drank it when I was 18.
Oh, one of those kinds of vodkas.
Yeah, but I'm right now kind of like reuniting with the taste of it, and it's really, really good tasting. I wouldn't even say it's a vodka. It's more like infused vodka. It tastes really, really nice. Yeah.
What is the flavor infusion again? It's
bison grass.
Bison grass. Huh? Yeah. Fascinating.
It's a grass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's interesting too
is a single grass.
There is a single thread of grass in here, but the stuff that they actually sell in Poland and the rest of Europe has a certain substance in the bison grass itself that is actually a banned substance in the United States.
Yes. Which substance?
I don't know. It's some weird thing that the FDA says can't be sold here. So we have a modified version that you can only buy in the United States. And I've had the stuff from Poland because someone brought it over for me once, and it tastes different.
Yes, it does.
But still good.
Let me make sure I'm understanding you properly. Mm-hmm. You've had this specific Zubrovka. Zubrovka? Am I saying it right?
Zubrovka, yeah.
You had this specific Zubrovka from while you were in Poland?
It was brought to me from Poland.
Gotcha. So same brand and everything. So, and it tastes different over there?
Tastes different over there, and it has some substance that's in the bison grass that they have to extract in order to sell in the United States.
Science. Well, damn you, science,
drugs.
For preventing us.
Damn you, FDA.
Yes. Yeah.
Much like all the years that we were not able to have a decent absinthe in this country.
Right.
And we were forced to settle for Pernod.
Ugh.
Well, we got Cervona here in the studio, or at least two of the members of Trivona, and we're looking forward to a little bit more insight into your band and the fun times ahead. I understand you have an event coming up.
Yeah, the event is coming up on the big event. We have a couple events coming up, but the big event is coming on January 12th at Star Theater. This is a old New Year party that is happening pretty much every year for 13 years already.
This is the old Russian New Year's?
Oh. That's old Russian New Year's, yes.
And it's not just old Russian New Year this year. This time is the best old New Year ever.
Why is that?
Well, we gathered lots of great acts during the years, and this time we're going to put all of them together. Invite the same stars we had throughout the years, the best ones everybody loves.
Oh, that's exciting. So does that mean that anybody who isn't invited back is not considered one of the best?
Oh, we definitely don't want people to look at this situation this way.
But also, if they are not invited, they can always come and be a part of the best old New Year anyways, right?
And even simply by being there, yes, exactly. You are the best. Excellent.
Are you going to have the Golden Ivans again?
We were really thinking to bring back Golden Ivans. Yes. Thank you for remembering that. So I remind everybody that we had a Golden Ivans awards for a number of years, and then we dropped that nomination because of the political reasons.
Mm. Oh yeah, it was getting dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know, in 2014, a certain conflicts happened between Russian Federation and Ukraine.
Yeah.
And we have a Russian community and Ukrainian community here, and basically the Golden Ivan Awards was something that we were having fun upon, I guess.
It was,
Funny. Fun we could not have anymore because those things that we thought are forgotten and sort of really really funny because of the situations, and it became to be actually truth. So all the skeletons were back from the closet.
It became a little too real.
Yeah, it became
too real. Yeah, it's like, all right, we don't want to create confrontations.
At first we were laughing at certain ridiculous things which were happening, and then some people could not laugh at them anymore. They were looking at them too seriously.
Well, speaking of things that we take too seriously, let's take this to the road.
Damn, it's really cold tonight. We hit in the downtown area down to the middle 20s for most of the morning.
Ugh.
It was fun. But then again, I didn't have to pedal all the way to McMiniman's. Hey, Xander, how's the commute going nowadays?
It's fine. Everything's fine. It's not fine.
Folks, Xander's missing a couple fingers.
Frostbite is a real thing. Protect your fingers. Yeah, so for people who don't know about the area, the Columbia River Gorge produces some pretty gnarly winds. The last couple weeks, they have been sustained winds of, you know, about 20 miles an hour. With about, you know, anywhere between 35 and 45 mile an hour gusts, and biking head into that because their east winds sucks really bad. So I've started taking my bicycle on the bus to work and then biking back on the tailwinds of that because it's not so bad, but it's still very, 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 very cold.
I see.
Icy. Is that a joke there? Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. Yeah. Go fuck yourself.
It was so strange at the beginning of this week. Monday morning, I wake up to go to work and it's fucking cold outside. But I had been hoping it would have been colder sooner, but it was like just came out of nowhere.
Yeah. To be perfectly honest, I enjoy this weather. I mean, I was born for it, but I'm a broken human being. Have you modified your gear at all?
I have not. I've been meaning to get some rain gear, but it hasn't been raining lately, so I haven't felt the need to do it. But I'm going to get some rain gear soon. I'm gonna go find my balaclava
because
that keeps my face warm. And in
you
case
got a
I
nice
gotta,
nose, let's keep it on your
face. Yeah, yeah. In case I got to rob a bank on the way back, you know, I'm already set.
Tip for you that I discovered years ago, back when I was
Get a car.
Is more a bicyclist, and then I've carried through into my motorcycling days. Glove liners are a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I have some nice gloves, but I've noticed that once it dips below freezing temperatures in wind chill or otherwise, I start losing all feeling in the tips of my fingers.
Yeah, dump it's fine. Just
not fun. Yeah, no, yeah.
It's fine. Mm-hmm.
Stop into REI, grab some silk glove liners. It's worth the investment, folks. Don't walk around wearing them with nothing else over them. They're not the most durable thing in the world, and they'll keep your hands warm, but they won't protect your fingers from abrasion.
Nope.
So, our guests, I hear you have a drummer who had some habits regarding transportation of his equipment over the years.
Yeah, our drummer, Tomas, I'm sure a lot of people in Portland know Tomas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a
especially
fixture.
In a bicycling community. I think it's a religious matter. he really believes in the bikes, and he works as a bike mechanic. I think he graduated the school as a bike mechanic as well. So, and the most important thing that he always transports himself and his drums by bicycle. Yeah.
Like when you say he transports his drums, are you talking like two?
Like a full drum set.
Holy shit.
Can you describe this bicycle our listeners who might not have
seen
it?
I need to picture
him.
This.
Well, I think in the past he used a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So he would use a trailer behind his a regular sort of a bike and his tall bike that he's also using sometimes. But lately I think he moved into, you know, this either trike, he calls it a trike. But also he's got this a bicycle with a platform, you know, where he puts things on two wheels. So that's what he's doing. Again, if we have a gig in Eugene or somewhere else, he definitely takes a ride from someone.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
In the Portland metro area, that's what he's doing, yeah.
I've just got this mental picture of this guy. Now, I've seen your videos. I don't think I've ever met Tomas, but I've seen the videos. And so I just got this mental picture of Tomas riding with drums strapped to his back.
No.
That would be awesome.
No, yeah, but that's right up there with my old neighbor who used to go out the driveway on his high-rise unicycle with a full backpack, an accordion strapped to his chest, and an accordion in one hand on his way to a gig. So, yeah. So, makers and fabricators in Portland, find Tomas. I see that we need to do a drum set that's fully assembled and playable on wheels. We can do this.
I think he could. I believe in Tomas.
Yeah.
Well, he was bringing also his carpet rolled up. It's a whole shebang. And he would always make it look easy, like very easy. He's coming in, nothing special, just regular Thomas coming on the bike with his drum set to the gig.
Yeah. And, you know, it was a pretty long trailer that he had. I think he had a front trailer for a while, I think.
Or maybe,
Yeah. But he's had both, and it's a pretty elaborate thing. And like I said, it looks easy when he does it. And then you see him tear down his drum kit at the end of the night and then meticulously place it back in this thing. And it's a process.
I'm wondering if you have any pictures of this, because I would love to get some to share. It sounds like quite a sight.
I'm sure we can find something.
Folks, if we can get some pictures, it'll be in the feed, and you'll definitely get to see Tomas in all his glory.
Yeah.
Now, Alma, I understand that you are a very accomplished cyclist.
Well, I tried. I really tried a few times in my childhood and in my adult life. I did try. I'm just born with wings, not with a bike legs. So I have no balance whatsoever. I cannot ride a bike. Andre tried to teach me too. And he also tried to ride bike together.
What was it called?
Oh, the tandem bike?
Tandem bike.
Oh, yeah, that was great. That was great.
That was also scary.
Who was the stoker and who was the pilot?
I was the one who scared. Up front, screaming. I don't know.
You make some interesting life choices, sir.
Oh, is the bicycle difficult? How about a tandem?
Oh, yeah, let's just, you know, raise up the difficulty level there. That's ain't no thing.
Yeah, I would rather walk.
or you know, spread those wings
fly,
out.
Fly away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, Andre, do you bike?
I can.
I can. You have the ability to.
Every spring, I tell myself this is the time to get my bike, but for some reason, it's just still sitting in the garage.
Does it work?
It does. It does.
Mm-hmm. There's a story here.
Oh, there's many years that bike is sitting like in the garage, up high, without the air in the tires. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it works.
Air is an interesting thing in that it's all around us and it exists. So technically there is air in the tires, right?
Yeah. Maybe not properly inflated.
What kind of bike is it?
It's a cheap bike.
That's free bike. Gave me. Oh yeah, a biker's talking here.
Maybe that's why I'm not using that, because it's a cheap bike. If I go and buy myself a $500 bike, be saving that for a few months, then I will have definitely more drive to put it on the road.
More drive put it on the road.
So if someone were to suddenly make a decent bicycle suddenly appear in your driveway, how many shows would they get a guest invite to?
How about a year worth of shows?
You heard it here, folks.
We're making that happen.
We're going to make this happen.
Our produced shows.
All right. Oh, uh-huh. Yeah. The ones they produce.
Yeah,
important caveat, but
if you want to donate a bike to Andre, get him on the road.
Yes.
Also, the thing is that my legs are pretty long, so it's for me too hard to find a bike that perfectly would fit me.
Chris
so
Harbert, if you're listening, this man is about as tall as you and has the same inseam.
What about a tall bike? Yeah?
Oh, that would be too much.
Scary.
Yeah, I have two friends who have those Dingo Dismal. You probably all.
Oh yeah,
all
Dingo
know,
Dismal.
All know.
Yeah, yeah.
Dingo is riding tall bike, and Tomas is riding tall bikes as well.
Yeah, every time I have seen Dingo Dismal and Olive Rootbeer on the road, I just shout, "You damn clowns!" as I pass by, because they're clowns.
And every time I do that, I'm so scared that Dingo is gonna fall off that bike.
I actually had to go and send a message and apologize. I said, I know I said damn clowns, get off the road. I hope you know it's because I love you and you are a bunch of clowns and you were on the road. It wasn't me being insulting, I'm sure. It's because I love you.
Now it's time for a very special segment, which might be the first of many, hopefully, and that's Cat Games with Trevona. I understand you have cat games. You like cats and games, so tell us about
them. Yeah, exactly. We have two beautiful kittens that are just about 2 years old, still kittens to us. And of course, you know, the family that lays together stays together. So we have to have some sort of games with our cats.
First of all, those are very special cats.
What are their names?
Well,
okay.
White with black spots. One is called Kona. From Kokona.
Okay.
And the gray one with the stripes and some yellow, and dots. Well, she's very pretty. Her name is Lava.
As her full name is One Love.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nothing to do with Hawaii. Those cats came from a different country. They came from Jamaica.
Ooh, oh, wow.
So you imported cats from Jamaica?
We imported cats from Jamaica.
So wait a minute. Wait a minute. You named a cat One Love in what language?
It's just One Love.
It's just One Love. One Love. But you can't call a cat
One Love.
Hey, come
one
here
love.
One Love eat
No, at first actually we called her Ona because One Love
oh,
Ona. But
okay,
that didn't
got
work
it, got
Ona
it,
Ona they were like
both replying to the call. So, so one became lava.
I am personally not convinced that cats know their names. So I'm just going to let that ride.
You are totally wrong.
Really? You are totally wrong.
Yes. You say Kona. Kona answers and lava looks at her. You say lava. And Lava answers and Kona looks at her. So, yes, okay.
I was for a very long time convinced that cats didn't know their name. I've been given recent information and experience to know that some cats do know their name.
Maybe it's just that most cats don't care.
See, yeah. And that's the thing. The biggest tip off that cats actually know their name is when you use their name, they ignore you harder.
I'm going to turn my back on you twice.
So, no, not our cats. Our cats are like completely different. They want our love. They want our attention. You call them. We say in Russian, "Пошли," that means let's go. Mm-hmm. And they go with you anywhere you go. They mm-hmm. follow you everywhere.
Where did you get these two?
In Jamaica.
Well, first one, we got a day after Christmas. We found her in a bush.
In Jamaica?
In Jamaica. And second, we found two, 3 days later, after Andre's birthday party, we were walking home at 4 o'clock in the morning. She came from a ditch. Ah. So bush and ditch.
Yes.
Very tiny. Very tiny kittens.
So I understand you have some fun games that you play with them. What are these games?
Yeah, well, one of them everybody knows, it's a laser game, mm-hmm. but only Lava plays the laser game.
So Kona doesn't care?
Kona plays a different game. She plays roulette. She can lay there for hours spinning that ball, spinning mm-hmm. it around and around and around. Roulette. She always wins.
The house always wins.
But
the
also, there's
wins.
A there's
house
a
cat
new,
always wins.
New game with a we went to IKEA and bought two mice. You know,
toy
just
mice.
Live mice.
Toy.
Oh, okay.
It's a one of them is gray, another one is white. And
for their birthday.
Yeah, for their birthday. So each of the kittens got a mice.
Are they both from the same litter?
No, sisters from different misters.
I got to use that.
Yeah.
Well, in Jamaica, when we were importing them or exporting them, they told us, "What are you going to do with the Jamaican puss?"
Clearly, you're going to play roulette with it.
Well, we had no idea what we're doing. Why we need the cats from Jamaica.
So how did that process work? I mean, did you just put them in your luggage?
No. We had to come back for them.
Oh, okay.
It was like a nice one more week of vacation.
Oh,
yeah. We needed to get some vaccination and get some papers from Kingston. Mm-hmm. And only after doing some paperwork, we were able to bring them home.
Did you have to have the cats in quarantine stateside?
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
They didn't even look at the cats. We were so worried because in the papers, one of them was black and white and another one was black and white too. They just wrote wrong. And we're like, oh my God.
Yep.
But people Excellent. Here in the U.S., the customs guys, they didn't even look. Maybe they didn't even different look, animals.
They didn't even look at them. They didn't even look at the what the paper would say. They just asked some questions. Do they have this and this and this vaccinations? Yes.
Here's the paperwork.
Okay. Yeah. Welcome to America.
Mystery box. That's probably a cat. Let's check it off.
What was it about these cats specifically all the way in Jamaica that convinced you to bring them to the States? Like, go through all of the effort. You had to go to Jamaica multiple times to make this happen. And that's like hundreds. That's a lot of money.
Well, it's not only about money. It was a lot of effort. But at the same time, it felt really right. And it still feels really right because This is all about love, I guess. You know, it's like there's lots of ladies around, but you choose only one that belongs truly to you, right? And I think that's kind of a thing. Same thing with the cats. Even though cats, unfortunately, don't live so long, but if you really love somebody, it's yours. I really wanted to have two bonded kittens for a number of years, and just nothing would really happen. Nobody would come along, and my condition would be so they would be. I didn't want to just get a cat from the breeder, and you know, it's like if I can make a difference in somebody's life, I would get them. We even went to Humane Society and looked at some cats, but nothing really happened. And here was my birthday, and Alma just said, "Okay, well, let's take this road and see if there's any developments." We're going to this pretty much same familiar area every year, and like, oh, okay, well, let's see
for 10 years already.
Jamaica,
How things has changed over that particular year, and we're walking by, and somebody was start meowing.
In my heart, in the
bush, and I was like, wow, this is somebody's. Is asking for help in this bush, and I came there, and I see a white spot there, and pick that white furry ball, and the ball keep meowing, and you know, it somehow end up in our room, and from that, you know,
right away we understood that she's a princess, because when we left her meowing, we left her, we came back, she was sleeping on the tallest pillow on our big king bed. Since then, we know she's behaving like that all the time, and Andre is sure that it was Ja who gave him
absolutely the kitten. Absolutely. And then on my birthday, 2 days after that, we got Lava coming out of the trench and asking to help, and she was very, very sick. She had a fever.
Oh,
and
my heart is breaking over here.
Big belly full of worms.
It was terrible. So we had to find a vet, and it was quite a challenge to find a veterinary in Jamaican sort of
in
like
the village.
In the village, in isolated area. We start calling Kingston, and after multiple calls, we kind of narrowed down our searches and found a veterinary doctor who agreed to come about probably like 50 miles from a different place, from Santa Cruz.
Whoa.
And surprise was that she was speaking Russian, and she studied it. She studied
in Jamaica. We found a Jamaican woman speaking Russian.
That, she works for a Russian company in Jamaica. You know, one of the natural resources that Jamaica has is aluminium. They do bauxite, and that's a Russian.
Yeah.
Was a Russian company.
It's sedating.
Yeah. So, and don't think we were like, okay, we need to take these cats. No, we left these cats.
We found a family,
but things got really bad. The whole family got disease from these cats. They start hating these cats.
It was a ringworm.
These cats need to go. They need to go.
The Rasta guy with his dreadlocks got the ringworm on his head. The baby got ringworm all over.
Oh my God, this is glorious.
Yeah, that was a disaster. And I start sending money to Jamaica every day to, you know, pay for the treatment
and
the food.
There's no more food. They're not eating dumplings.
So good thing, like really, really, this is a very, very interesting thing that because we made a connection with this vet.
Yeah.
I called her and I said, okay, well, why don't you go and get
something's
get,
really get, wrong
get
there.
Those cats and give them a proper treatment, and then we'll see what we can do. So she went another 50 miles, got those cats, brought them home, start fixing them, and start treating them, and then we start questioning how can it probably would be cheaper for us to actually to go get them, because otherwise we would keep on have to keep sending money to Jamaica to keep them alive, you know. that was actually a very practical decision.
Yes, very much so. I hear you.
You know, but you really care for somebody. You keep on supplying them with food and so.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And then we came back and we saw those kittens sitting in a bird cage.
Oh, it's not where kittens
driving
belong.
For many, many hours.
No, she put them in a bird cage for some reason, you know.
It's Jamaica. Yeah, man. So we brought with us nice little soft carrier, and kittens were there with us flying for almost 20 hours.
Oh, man.
Meowing. And then we came home and they were like, all right, that's our new home. Mm-hmm. And they were fine. And since then, every single day is just a game day.
Gotta play the cat games.
So speaking of games, tell me more about these mice.
That was a really long tangent. That was great.
It was a wonderful tangent.
Oh, yeah. Well, they kind of didn't care about those mice. Unless you put them in a shoe, then they kind of look at it, but they still didn't play with them. So what we did, we tied it to a rope, and then you have to run really fast, and then the cats ran after you, and it's super, super fun game.
And it's good for person who plays that as well,
yes.
Because it's a good exercise.
It's good for person who watches the person who plays, because it's funny.
So in my house, the variation we have on that is we have a stick that's about 2.5 feet long with a fishing line tied to it, and then a set of beads and feathers. And you start out by just whirling it around your head, and the sound will bring both cats to the house. And then as you can lower it, and not only do you get them to chase it, they will jump for it. And it's the same thing, except it mimics a bird.
So, Andre, Alma, what you should do next time you play the mouse game is go get some plastic toy bowling pins and like set them up in an area and see if you can run towards it and dodge at just the right moment for the cats to barrel into the
bowling.
Pin.
Yes.
Cat bowling.
Wow. I am super into this idea.
Yeah.
So many different games to play with a cat.
Besides, our listeners would have more advices about the games that we can play with our cats. So please leave your comments under the podcast.
Meow.
Well, it's holiday season again, and what that usually means is lots of holiday parties we may or may not want to be at, lots of work parties, family parties, obligated friend parties. Obligated frenemy parties.
Yeah.
So, how do we survive these things, Jacob?
Well, so as someone who works in, shall we say, for a nonprofit and has worked in nonprofit and with difficult families, aka I'm divorced, I've had to deal with a lot of parties I didn't want to be at. Just like many of you who work in corporate America, there are family parties that are in corporate parties that you just don't want to be at. And how do you survive that? First of all, you can't get drunk in front of your boss. And if you're with your in-laws, oh my God. I mean, unless you're dedicated to that fight on the lawn with your uncle, you know, it's
and I am.
Let it be said that perhaps the hosts of Bikers Dice and Bars, at least some of them, are not above taking issues outside the dining room table. But how do you survive a holiday party?
Now, define survive, because you know it's eventually going to be over.
Yes.
You could just wait it out. But what do you mean by survive?
Well, one of the things, especially with parties with groups of friends that, like, you only care about a couple people in the friend circle, or family parties where you don't
you have a very strained relationship with some of your family members, or work, where I'm here because it's political suicide if I'm not here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see a couple of the hosts agreeing with me on that.
Yeah.
How do you get through that? Well, this being Bikers, Dice, and Bars, drinking is the key. However, you can't just get totally thrashed, throw up on the VP's tie, pick a fight with the guy from accounting who's a horrible racist, and then, you know, think it's good. You know,
usually considered to be uncouth to do that, unfortunately.
So we're here to discuss all the tactics we've come up with to survive the holiday parties.
I've got the first one, the best one. Don't go. Don't go. Just,
you've never worked for Intel, have you?
No, I haven't. But sometimes there gets to a point, especially the older you get, where you realize that you don't have time for any of that shit. Mm. Like, don't go. That is not always available to everyone in certain walks of life. However, remember, this is your life. You can say no to being around shitty people.
Correct. Yeah. Just know the consequences before you do that.
Well, there's consequences if you go. Just
exactly.
Remember. Yeah.
I mean, I had to go to a Thanksgiving this year that was totally dry. And so we just drank a bottle of champagne before we went.
Sander, from the bottom of my heart, I'm sorry, man.
No, it's okay. I understood the circumstances and it was fine. But, you know, it's you're cooking that much food and you're meeting some new people for the first time. You need a half a bottle of champagne in you. Just do it beforehand. It's pregame.
Pregame. Yeah.
Pregame.
I think that's advice number two. Pregame.
Yep, pregame.
Show up drunk.
Buzzed.
I think even the worst parties can have a silver lining. All you need to do is just walk away and look. You'll find somebody or something that might be interesting or different. Just go there.
Yeah.
Go like, meet that person. Go yeah. talk that talk. Go mm-hmm. sing that song. I don't know.
Create like, that social circle at a
walk
party.
Walk next door. Knock on the neighbors. See if they're willing to have someone.
Stranger. There's always like a smoking circle. You know, somebody smokes outside. You can join them. There's
smoking circle's a good one.
Tea yeah. drinking circle. There's, you know, like you can find something person alternative hot. In even least alternative.
Yeah, yeah. The, you know, hiding in the closet with your flask circle.
You yes. can find a cat.
You can find yes. a cat.
Or a dog or right. a child.
Yeah, yeah. So advice number three, start smoking. start now. Cigarettes are really expensive now, but it's never too early to start. And
or bum a smoke.
Or bum a smoke. Yeah, you can
find the smoker and bum a smoke from them because they don't want to smoke alone. It's awkward.
Nobody likes a bum. Advice number four.
Buy the smoke off
find
them.
A cat.
Find a cat.
Or dog.
A cat. Or dog. Or a kid.
So let's say that you're at one of the parties, whether it's a family party, work party, whatever, where there is a heavy expectation and heavy consequences that you circulate and make yourself available to as many different people as possible. I've been in this circumstance Ugh. More than once. Ugh. I'm just going to point out a few things. First of all, if you go on Amazon and get the bow tie flask, it is obvious from 15 feet away, don't do it. Just go with a classic flask. Just go to the bathroom on a regular basis. The other thing is offer to bartend for events because as many of the hosts here know, when I'm bartending, I have a strict I don't drink rule. That goes out the window if I'm bartending at a holiday party.
Well, obviously, you got to test the eggnog.
You have to test the eggnog. And I'm pouring myself doubles while I'm pouring everybody else singles.
And you could also secret agent bartend by spiking the eggnog and watching the chaos happen.
I only have alcoholic eggnog, sir.
Bikers. No, I mean, like, for the party. Yeah. You're at a non-alcoholic party, and you're not having fun. Oh. You know what? Oh. Level the playing field.
Oh.
One of the other things that I've adopted as a personal rule over the years is that if I'm going to a party because someone who is very important to me says this is party is important to them, if at all possible, they're the designated driver.
I think you should also negotiate a future favor.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And not just a future favor. You want to get that
in writing.
Nailed down.
Yeah. Preferably before you spike the eggnog.
Spike the eggnog, yeah.
And cause a scene.
And cause a scene.
That said, Jess Jacob is available for holiday parties where you want your racist uncle out on the front lawn getting beat down.
Yep. Do you guys have any fun holiday party stories?
Do we? Where to start?
Oh no. Go on. Bring it.
Well, I usually like to party, and I like to talk to my coworkers as well. The only problem I have that at the parties, I like to drink, and at the end of the parties, like you just mentioned, I have this problem that I get too loose in front of my boss or bosses or coworkers and so on.
But I always come there to help because I do get also loose.
How do you help?
Sir? Well, I go and talk to them instead of Andre. So, you know, they pay attention at me. I'm a crazy one here.
Just throwing down that Lithuanian charm.
I have to save Andre. What can I do?
Let's talk about parties that we do want to be at.
Oh, yeah.
Like the good parties, the exciting parties, the party where the door opens and Ivan shows up with a 12-pack of beer.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good callback. Listeners will get that later. So every year for decades in my family, we would have a tamale party. My hometown is Santa Barbara. God. Half my family is Mexican, so the Mexican half of the family would just have tamale parties, always on Christmas Eve. And my grandmother, when she was still around, would lead the party, tamale party making. We'd spend 2 days going and, you know, doing the masa and the chili sauce from scratch and the copious amounts of pork. And the next day we would go and put them all together. And then we'd invite people over early to go and assemble the 200 or 300 tamales we would always make.
Jesus.
Well, the process of making tamales is so labor intensive that if you're going to make 20, you might as well make 200. It's not that much more work because the making of the chili sauce itself is so tedious. And so starting at 10 o'clock in the morning, we would start drinking beer to make tamales. And then usually about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, until whenever we're just too tired to stay up anymore, open invitation to all of our friends and family in the entire neighborhood. And we would have, my dad always played music. My sister would play music. All their musician friends would come over and play music. So just an entire night of BYOB. So we supplied the tamales and the black beans with bacon. And then everything else was people bringing over booze and us just drinking and playing music and eating tamales and having a damn good time.
Xander, just a quick aside. You had grew up having tamale parties.
Uh-huh.
I have spent many, many years having tamale parties around Christmas.
Huh.
Apparently, you and I need to get together and bring all of the unexposed in the Biker's Dyson Bars circle to have the first Biker's Dyson Bars Christmas tamale party making.
Yeah, I can. That would be great. I do have still tamales in my freezer right now, so maybe I'll bring them over.
How old are they?
Oh, no.
Old enough to know better, but too young to resist.
Tamales get better with age. Until the tamale starts talking to you, it's not a bad tamale.
So that's the party I like being at every year. I'm going to try to go this year, and if I do, I'll bring back some pictures and stories.
What kind of music did you guys play there?
Good question. So it's a lot of Americana music of various sorts. So it's a lot of country and Western, a lot of bluegrass, a lot of folk music. You know, we would sing a lot of Johnny Cash, John Prine, a lot of Steve Earle. Then we go real kind of classic with, you know, Marty Robbins and stuff like that as well. Notoriously, whenever we get real drunk around a campfire, my dad always sings El Paso by Marty Robbins, and it just brings the house down every single time.
Nice.
Right.
Ever Feliz Navidad?
Oh yeah, every year. Every year.
Now that
Fleas on my dog every year.
That sounds familiar. It's almost as if there's a music video that I've watched at least 7 or 8 times this last week.
Oh,
from
yeah.
a band in this city.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that band.
Trevona?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you guys, it's about a party.
There may be a link to that video in our show notes.
There should be.
There will be.
Yes.
It's called
Bottoms Up, though.
Bottoms Up.
So let's fill it up.
Mm. Come on, fill it up.
I still have some Zubrovka.
All right.
Cheers. So tell us, I'm very curious about this. So a few years back, Xander says, oh, it was in a Trivona video. You should watch it. And it was actually pretty awesome. You can see a younger Xander. Yeah, he's got a good mustache and he's got a cigar and he's apparently abusing a baby.
Blowing smoke into a baby's face.
But it was a doll.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
The point got across, though.
What's the story behind this?
Well, we came up with a song and we thought it's a funny song. And
it is a funny song.
So we took the music. The music you hear, you know, it's always somewhere. You go to the mall, you go to a store, it's always somewhere around, right? So we didn't like the words. We like the words. We didn't understand them. So we came up with our own version of the words.
Come on, fill it up. Come on, bottoms up.
No, it was even different. First of all, we wrote it in Russian.
Yeah, давай наливай, давай выпивай.
And then we realized,
давай наливай и еще выпивай, which really means, come on, fill it up, come on, bottoms up.
Yeah. Well, but then we realized that this joke is kind of on us because nobody else understands what we're just saying. So we kind of found the middle road there and translated it to English. And now we have a beautiful song, Bottoms Up. Mm-hmm. And after that, there were all kinds of wonderful people who said, hey, we want to make something happen with it. So we met our friend V, videographer. We wrote some scripts, then threw them away. Then we had our friend, painter, who painted the walls in the coffee shop, which was about to close. We had friends who came and were actors. And it took us 2 days now. Well, 2 days of just filming. And then many, many more days preparation. And many more days after production. And we came up with an amazing video. You should all see that.
It's really funny.
It's really good. It's really fun.
Really funny.
Yeah. It seems like we're drinking vodka and all kinds of other drinks like beers and wines and champagnes. But all day long, we were drinking water. I had so much water, yeah. I was sick of it.
Nobody was drinking during the shoot.
Well, let's not say nobody. We have to kick out a few people because they were too loud. I don't remember who it was. It wasn't Xander, was it?
No, I remember I could only make one of the 2 days, so I was there only there for one of the days. But I think I have my glorious Christmas sweater on for that.
Yeah, for that you had a derby, not a derby, a roadster, roadster cap, and a cigar.
Oh,
do you remember Grandma?
Yeah.
Grandma Wolf?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you remember Punk?
What about the doll with the fake vagina? Yeah.
Oh, yep. Actually, we lost her once.
But now she's back.
Oh, good.
No, it was funny. After one of the New Year's, after playing in the show, you know, the doll was playing in the show. She was jumping everywhere and flying around. And then we
never came back.
We lost her. And then somebody wrote us, we got your doll.
Like a ransom note?
Well, actually, I don't know why they had it. Do you remember why they had it?
I don't remember the story. I know the person.
I remember it was a lady. Mm-hmm. And she brought it back in a nice white box. It's all clean.
Oh, yikes. What happened to that poor thing?
No, yeah, that is a very specific thing to say. I brought your doll back. It's all clean.
Ooh, ow, ooh, there's some baggage there. Don't, ooh.
Yeah. Don't ask, don't tell. It's fine.
Well, unfortunately, what was your name? Lucy?
Lucy.
I think the parties want to remain anonymous.
Unfortunately, no, Lucy, the doll.
The doll, oh, okay.
The doll is no longer with us. She got some holes.
Oh, did she now?
Oh, my God.
Well, she does not hold air anymore.
I think the person who brought it back, she said that she fixed that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
with duct tape? What?
Probably with duct tape.
I don't want to know.
We're going to go check on Lucy as soon as we come home. God.
Please give us an update.
But folks, definitely come to January 12th to Star Theater and meet Lucy. She was definitely one of the highlights of Old Russian New Year that we celebrated about like 7-8 years ago, something like that.
So what is Old Russian New Year?
It's another chance to celebrate New Year.
Yeah. For some reason in Russia, after the calendar was changed in 1918, they're still celebrating things according to a different calendar. So like their Christmas is two weeks later, their New Year's is two weeks later, their Easter is 2 weeks later. So it's something that what they do.
So the Eastern Orthodox calendar, yes. Or is this different?
So apparently all over Russia, mm-hmm. That's what they do. They even have like 10 days of days off starting from December 30th till January the 9th, I think. They have like 10 days of like nobody works in whole Russia for almost 2 weeks because there's this Christmas, old Christmas and old New Year's going on.
Oh, fascinating. So I'm guessing then, that next year, 2019, 100 actual years of this.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then you're bringing back all the greats.
The best.
The best.
The best. The best New Year.
And by that, we mean anyone who shows up
is the best.
Is the best.
So it is a New Year celebration. Once again, after everybody's already done, we're doing it again. We have a Christmas tree. We have a Russian Santa called Ded Moroz. We have his helper called Snegurochka, which is a snow girl. We have lots of music, food, drinks. What else?
Party!
Surprises, prizes, contests of all kinds. And most important, we have a wonderful company, a great, great people gathering there to celebrate the old New Year's.
But will there be music?
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, music will be.
Cervona will be playing for you all night. And not only Cervona, but we actually going to have the format that we have the music presentation through the night. We have quite a bit of singers who come, and Cervona is playing as a backing band.
Ooh.
So you don't see me on stage. I mean, I'm on stage all the time playing my guitar with the band, but actually there are other singers that
so
perform.
Lots of special guests.
Yeah,
also
that's very exciting.
Jamaican inspired. If you think there's one band and many singers.
Yeah,
I need to know. Are also, the cats going to be there?
Just gonna ask that question.
In spirit, yes.
This is the last call for alcohol this evening. Drink up, and order again. This is the last call for alcohol, get going. Drink up, then order again.
All right, real quick for the three of us, or all five of us, what is your favorite Cervona moment that you've had?
There's just so many.
Yeah, there are quite a bit of them. One of the things that I definitely really like and still like to talk about this is one day the famous French singer Manu Chao.
What?
Sing with Cervona, actually. So
don't say French. He's Basque.
Well, he's Basque, but yeah. But
if you're dealing with the Basque, it's an important difference.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Very cool.
We end up with sort of friending each other and spending a good, really good time.
That's excellent.
One of my favorite moments was... Okay, I have many favorite moments. I haven't really enunciated this, but I'm something of a fan of Cervona. I've seen you play like 30 times. I love your music. It's amazing. You are my favorite local band. Like when people are like, what's good in Portland? I'm like, Trevona, here, listen. So I think one of my favorite moments was the Transylvanian Voodoo Ball and being there. Mm-hmm. But it was either the last year or the second to last year. We ended up having this table near the front. My partner and I, who is now my wife, we would always show up and be first in line. Wanted to get a good seat, wanted to get some good drinks and chill out and be able to like scope out the area and find the best dancing spot, the best time to come back. We were, you know, we're old, we're pros. we want a good seat. And we were decked out in full outfits. She had this like bridal thing going on with the corpse paint. And I had this sugar skull thing going on. And we ended up meeting this other couple randomly, just this random old couple that was also like decked out to the nines. We invited them to join with us. And then we were all dancing. But I remember the one that we were all specifically dancing to together. Just ba 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 da ba.
Yeah, that's a reality show. That's a good song. Yeah.
It was just so fun. All of us throwing down at the same time, sitting down, sweating, just going, whew. And then the next song starts playing. We're like, God damn it. And we get back up again.
It's shoveling the music in a nutshell.
Well, we do tell people to bring their dancing shoes for sure.
You have to.
Very, very important part, yes. Costume is important, but shoes are mm-hmm. more important because you do want to dance because the energy is crazy.
So my favorite Shervona moment, and I have a lot of them too because I have a long history with you guys, but you guys opened up for Firewater at the Doug Fir, and I remember showing up to that show dressed like a crazy person like I usually do. And because I was loaded, I was hoping you guys load in, I got past the security guard to the green room. And
that's never happened to you before.
Because I wanted to meet Todd A of Firewater really badly because he's a great guy.
Yeah.
And so I pretended to be part of your band as I was hoping you guys load in. and then when they finally posted a security guy in front of the green room, I said, hey, man, I haven't got my wristband yet, but I introduced myself to him so he would know me when I came back. So I'm kind of a recognizable person. And so anytime I had to leave, I would just come back and be like, yeah, you're good, and wave me back to the green room with you guys. And I ended up, drinking a lot of beers and chain smoking with Todd A behind the little parking garage back there. And then at the very end, when they did that final number with Shervona on stage with Firewater, Andre like shoved me on stage and like told me to dance. I have a video of this too. It's pretty great.
Oh, I would love to see that video.
Yeah, yeah, I'll send it to you guys.
Do you remember there was a bear? We had a bear.
You had a bear?
I was carried out on the stage by a bear. Thomas was dressed like a bear, right?
What's that?
It was so many years ago, but that was one of the good moments too.
Yeah, yeah. Or I was one of your dancers too for what was that radio Livewire?
Livewire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you guys were on Livewire, I was one of your dancers holding the red balloon.
God,
that was pretty
fun. I forgot about Livewire.
But yeah, yeah, but definitely sneaking my way back into the Doug Fir with Firewater and you guys was one of my favorite moments.
What about you? What are some of your favorite moments of the band?
I don't know. I've been thinking and thinking, and I'm like, oh my God, which moment is more exciting than the other moment? And I don't even know. Like, probably the last moment is always the most exciting one.
Another story that struck me is Eclipse. Last year, we were invited to play at the Oregon Eclipse Party.
Yes.
Ooh.
And getting to the camp was a very sort of a complex process. And
was this in Madras?
Yeah, it wasn't
Madras. No, it was not Madras. It was past Madras.
Oh, okay. I understand that Alma has wings. So you flew them there, right?
Yeah, well, she didn't.
Well, I kind of did.
She had wings, but I didn't have those. So.
I had to give him my wings and then get stuck driving 2 more hours.
So few miles I had to walk on foot because that was faster than being in line of cars. So
yes.
I was probably walking for 2.5 hours to get to the stage on
time. And I
time,
was driving for 4 more hours, same distance.
Yikes.
Yikes.
But how was the show?
Oh, it was great. Our bass player couldn't make it. So
we've never seen him after that.
We've never seen him after.
Really?
Yeah, he didn't make it to the show, and after that, very unfortunately, he announced that he don't want to play music with us or being involved in the band. So
it's the way of the business.
So that was a tough thing.
So did Thomas ride his bicycle with his drums to the Eclipse party?
Thomas wasn't there. He was there. He came with the Angela with his wife in the car.
I'm really looking forward to your show on the 12th. I can make that. For some reason in my head, I forgot it was Russian New Year. So I saw New Year. It's a New Year party. It's like, oh, I can't do that because I got plans on New Year, but Russian New Year. I can do that. And you know what? I'm going to be first in line.
It's an old Russian.
Old Russian New Year.
Best of old Russian New Year.
And it's the day before my birthday.
It's at the Star Theater.
Yep.
The club we played for last 5 or 6 years.
Beautiful venue.
So, Xander, does that mean when the clock strikes midnight, it's your birthday?
It will be, actually. Yeah. When the clock strikes midnight, an old Russian New Year's party for Shravona.
Xander's turning 21, y'all.
Do you want to go on the stage and sing which song this time?
Come on, bottoms up.
No.
I will blow more cigar into a baby's face.
Yeah, we're entertaining idea to sing a song as a sing-along song. It's the last song. It's more epic.
Nope. That one?
That's a good one.
It's a good sing-along.
It's definitely a good one. But I think the song that has a very important message is Happy Christmas song, War is Over by John Lennon.
Oh, yes. It's a classic.
So if, Xander, you want to join us on the stage, yes.
Okay, I'm there. If you want to see members of Bikers, Dice, and Bars on stage at Old Russian New Year, January 12th, Star Theater.
Yeah. Hey, sweetie, I know you're listening to this. By the way, I'm committing us to our plans this evening. So
oh, my God, I'm going to be so drunk for the training the next day.
That's Saturday night. Yeah.
Oh, God. I hope none of my coworkers hear this.
Anyway, it's been delightful having you here. And for anyone who's listening who has never heard your music, I do have one question before we actually get your public information. How would you describe your music? Now, my fallback is kind of klezmer punk.
That's two of the words from our description. Very good.
I mean, well, that's how I class them.
We're combining the styles, I guess. It's a fusion of klezmer, gypsy. I would say we're playing a lot of polkas in the punk version of that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And a little bit ska.
A little bit ska, a little bit blues. I wouldn't say blues.
No, blues
is the wrong word. What I really think, it's a swing.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. Yeah,
so definitely. Think it's dances of all kinds with the roots in Europe, right? Maybe a little bit from Jamaica. Mm-hmm. We have a little bit ska and reggae going on in some of the songs as well. So yes, we do want you to come and dance.
It's world dance party right there,
sisters. If you're coming to see Shravona, make sure you're wearing your best knickers.
And if people want to find out more about your band online, how do they follow you?
It's Chervona.com.
Chervona is Chervona.
Thank you.
Not Chervon, not Chernobyl, not, what was it, Chernova. No, Chervona.com on Facebook as well.
And what does that mean?
Good question. It means red and beautiful at the same time, and also Slavonic language.
Much like your sweater.
Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us this evening. I am thrilled to have you both here.
Thank you so much
studio.
For having us.
We hope this is the first of several more times.
Yes, your stories are
so good.
Amazing. Well, we got to get more of them.
Your drinks are amazing too.
We will do better next time. Yeah. Yes.
Well, we'll try to.
Well, once again, you've been listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. I'm NPC.
I'm just Jacob.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
Again, joining us,
Andre
and Alma
of Chervona, a fantastic local band. You should check them out online at chervona.com. You should also check us and our podcast out online at bikersdiceandbars.com as part of the Breakfast Puppies group. We have a Discord channel. We have Facebook. We have Instagram. We have all of those wonderful things where you can communicate with us. And, you know, drop us a line, leave us a message, say hello, or just leave us an iTunes review. We'd love to hear from you. And again, provided we don't mess this up, we want to encourage you.
Shiny side up.
Always tip your bartender.
Always roll some criticals and drink responsibly and all that. And thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you next time.
Halton stop sign does mean to nothing. A girl in a red dress in the other case. You stop just for a second to start a chase.
Червона бамбіна, червона сеньора,
червона дівчина, ядрена матрена. Bella, bellissima, signorita. Would you like to come with me drink some aquavita? To drink some wine. Червона wine. Червона wine.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Bikers Dice and Bars.